All right. As the children are going for their separate instructions, I invite you, including myself, to prepare our hearts for the message of the Lord. We pray that at the end of this worship service, we walk away knowing that God has spoken to us personally. Our passage for today is relatively short, but with a very important message and command. We'll be looking at other passages as well. Before we begin looking at the Word of God, I would like to invite all of us to read the Word of God together, in unison, in whatever language you feel comfortable in. So let us read together from the Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, beginning at verse 10, ending at verse 14. So people of God, let us read together. They were looking intensely up into the skies as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the heaven? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill they called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. Now let us look to God in prayer, asking God to guide us. Father, you have said in the book of Jeremiah that let not the wise man boast about his wisdom, or the strong man about his strength, or the rich man about his riches, but let him who boasts, boast that he knows and understands the Lord. We pray, O Lord, that in our worship service, O Father, that you would guide us and you would enable us to do just that, to understand, to know, to appreciate, to follow, to worship, and to surrender to you. For you are the Lord of our lives, the Lord of this church, and the Lord of the entire universe. For this we ask, in the powerful and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope you would still remember the passage that we just read. The disciples returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, where they have just seen the most phenomenal event. Right before their very eyes, Jesus in glory was taken into heaven. But before Jesus bodily disappeared in front of the disciples, we know that from Matthew chapter 28, Jesus commanded the disciples to go into all the world and preach the good news, baptizing and teaching all nations in the name of Jesus. That was found in Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 19 and verse 20. The commandment or the instruction by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 belongs to the church. It belongs to every believer, every Christian. It is for every Christian to obey. Meanwhile, after Jesus had commanded the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told the disciples to wait, to remain in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which he had promised. They must receive the Holy Spirit in all his fullness before they could go out and preach the Lord Jesus to others. Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit would be given to them. They need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to complete the work God has given to them. Next Sunday, June the 12th, it is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. It commemorates the birth of the church. The church needs the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we are unable to do the work that God has given to us. The extent to which a person opens up their life to the Holy Spirit is the extent to which God can use that person in his purposes. Because in Zechariah, we know that it says, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, that anything can be accomplished. This is the word of God to the church, to the believers. So today we thank God that the Holy Spirit is working in the church in the same way that he was working in the church 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit is still present with us. The Holy Spirit is still empowering the church to do the work of God. And so Jesus commanded and instructed the disciples to wait and pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The disciples then headed back into town. Arriving back in Jerusalem, they entered the upper room, and there they started the prayer meeting, setting the stage for the coming and also for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. I want you to notice something. Would you mark this? The church was actually born. The church was actually born in a prayer meeting. From this upper room that where the disciples were gathered, they met in united prayer. And from there on, the gospel began to flow and spread throughout the whole world. The early church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, was actually birthed in prayer. The message of the Bible is that if we are ever going to see a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual reawakening taking place in our lives, in our times, in the church of Christ, in our community, in our state, in the world, it would only come about as a result of the church, the believers, praying. There is no mistake about that, because a long time ago, God has already commanded the same thing. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. This is what it says. God was telling the entire people of Israel that if they wanted to experience God, if they wanted to experience God, good job. They need to come before God. They need to come before God and start acknowledging God. Just like Pastor Sam was praying in his prayer that, you know, we are here praying that we would first acknowledge God. All right. Sorry that you missed the first few slides. But now that we have 2 Chronicles chapter 7 on the screen, let us read this together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. God was telling, and more than telling, he was commanding the people of Israel to take prayer seriously. Not just one or two believers praying, that is important, but the entire people praying. And when the entire people cry out to God, God says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered from where they were. God is again reminding us, especially the Chinese community church today, that he's not waiting for the world to change. God is not waiting for leaders in politics to turn to him. God is waiting for the church to get on her knees. That is what God is waiting for. God is waiting for believers all over the world, including CCC, to realize how much God desires to hear his people cry out to him. Here we read in the passage about the very first church prayer meetings. We can make notes of several things about those prayer meetings in the upper room. First, we notice that the believers, the Christian, prayed obediently. As they gathered themselves in the upper room, they did so in obedience to Jesus' command. They pray obediently. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus very clearly told the disciples to stay in Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gifts my Father promised to you, which you have heard me speak about. This gift Jesus refers to is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Jesus had again and again reminded them and told them and commanded them to wait in Jerusalem, but not to do nothing, but there to pray, and they obey. They obey immediately, because if you read Acts chapter 1, from verse 4 on, you find that, you know, there's a series of events, one following another, in quick succession. First of all, we notice that in James chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus gave his final commands or instructions. Straight away, he was taken into heaven. No sooner than he was out of sight that the angels appeared, instructing the people, the believers, to return to Jerusalem. And immediately they return to Jerusalem, they go into the upper room, and they started a prayer meeting with the words of Jesus, the command of Jesus, still ringing in their ears. The disciples responded with quick, immediate obedience. This is a great challenge for you and I, for the whole church, isn't it? That sometimes, compared to the disciples, we find that, you know, we have a tendency, a very strong tendency, to put God on hold. Compared to the disciples, we are slow to understand and to obey. The disciples' obedience was immediate. Not only was it immediate, but their obedience was also joyful. How do we know that? Their obedience was joyful because of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, these actually are the last few verses of the Gospel of Luke. And this is how Luke finished up his Gospel. Let us read together. Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Here we see that not only was their obedience immediate, but their obedience was also joyful. They heard the command of Jesus. Jesus having blessed them and then disappeared bodily before their eyes, they returned to Jerusalem. But they returned to Jerusalem, although with a lot of questions, they returned to Jerusalem in great joy. And there in Jerusalem, they gathered together to worship and also to pray. Their obedience was immediate, their obedience was joyful, their obedience was also expectant. Their obedience was full of expectancy. And here's the reason why they were eager approaching God. Why they could come before God with confidence, trusting him to do what he has promised. Because Jesus has just reminded them about the promise of the Holy Spirit. They rushed back to Jerusalem with joy, expecting anytime soon to receive the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that even as they were so eager, gathered in prayer, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, that, you know, what their prayer meeting must have felt like? It must have been very much alive, with eager anticipation. There must have been, you know, a sense of expecting God to do something great, something personal, and something amazing anytime soon. Because anytime soon, the Comforter would descend. The believers gathered to pray, knowing that God was about very soon to do a whole new thing. Brothers and sisters, when we come before God, do we come with a sense of confidence, a sense of expectancy, knowing that God can cause great things, amazing things to occur? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that, you know, when we come before God, let us come by faith. Let us read together. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is this the way I approach God? Recognizing who God is, what God can do, and what he has promised? The disciples came with that attitude. They obey and they pray with expectancy. So we notice that, you know, on the one hand, the disciples obey the Lord Jesus. But there's something about their obedience. One was that, you know, they were quick to obey, immediate. The second thing was that, you know, in their obedience, they were joyful. They have yet to experience it, but they know that God has given them that joy. And thirdly, they know that they could trust God. They came with expectancy. The call of God is out today for the church to pray. It is up to us To come before the Lord simply to obey, to seek God. Can you imagine what would happen when believers come together in prayer? Can you imagine what would happen if on a regular basis the entire three congregation or three worship, you know, services come together regularly in groups large and small to seek after God, to pray? Amazing things would happen. Not because of you and I, but because God hears and answers our prayer. Now, the second thing about their obedience is that, you know, the other thing besides their obedience is that we can notice a second thing, is that they pray constantly. They pray persistently, without stop. Look at verse 14. They all join together constantly in prayer. They all do that, regardless of who was present. Notice the words, they join together constantly. They continue. They were persistent in prayer over a period of time. This is the same word that you find in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, where the apostles were challenging the church that, you know, there's way too much work for us to handle. So let us delegate. Let us do good administration. Select certain people from you, and we would task them, delegate them with such important spiritual responsibility. But at the same time, we would give ourselves continually, constantly, persistently, it is the same word, to prayer and to the ministries of the word. The leadership of the early church appointed deacons and deaconesses to take care of the day-to-day running of things so that they will be free to commit themselves to prayer on a regular basis and the ministry of the word. In the book of Acts, we find that the early church never lost sight of those priorities. And that is why they continue to experience tremendous growth. Continual prayer is the vitality and power of the church. It was and it continues to be. So here in Acts chapter 1, returning to verse 14, we see that at the very outset, at the very beginning, the believers were already learning about how to hold on, to be persistent, to pray from time to time. What a change had taken place in these men. Do you remember that it wasn't that long ago that, you know, they were having a tough time staying awake and praying with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? So much so that, you know, after Jesus had prayed agonizingly, Jesus came back and found them all asleep. And Jesus asked them the pointed question, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? That's all I'm asking. Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" But here you see, even though the Holy Spirit had yet to come and fill these disciples, but they were already changed believers. They started understanding, appreciating, and also practicing praying together. They were changed believers because they have seen Jesus died. They have seen him rise from the dead, and they have seen him gloriously go into heaven. They know that he is the king of the universe, and they know that he would promise by giving them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. There is a lesson for us here. When Christians, when you and I are unable to motivate ourselves to pray, we may have many reasons. We are tired. And we do get tired easily. We are distracted, too many interruptions. We are busy, busy with family life, busy with work, busy with helping other people. We are simply not motivated, or we are not in the best condition of health. Whatever our reasons may be, and however valid and important and pressing they may be, the bottom line, is that we need a fresh vision. We need a fresh revelation of Jesus in our lives. Like the disciples, they have seen Jesus died, but they have also seen him rise from the dead. They have seen him in glory, in splendor, in power, and have seen him return to heaven. And they know, even though they have yet to see with their own naked eyes, they know that he's going to be returning. They know that he's going to fill them with his Holy Spirit. Like the disciples, you know, when we find it difficult to trust God, too slow to come to God in prayer, When we find that maybe somehow God is not listening, what we need then for ourselves is a new revelation, a new vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the King of the universe. Jesus, the King who ascended into heaven. Jesus, who gave us the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, so that you and I, in our faith journey, can be refreshed and revitalized. How we need to pray, oftentimes for ourselves as individual believers, for other brothers and sisters, but also for the church, not just CCC, but the Church of Christ throughout the world. How we need to cover one another, including ourselves, with such prayer, that God would often flood and bless the church with a new revelation, a deeper, more intimate understanding and experience of who Jesus truly is. If there's ever a time in the life of the church to catch a new vision, a deeper love and faith of God, it is now. And it all begins with believers coming before God in prayer. Besides those two elements, we can also thank God that we have a third lesson here to learn. For they pray in unity. The believers in the early church learned to pray in unity. Notice that the disciples came together to pray. And when they came together to pray, they came together to pray as a body. They were together in passion and purpose. Very often when you flip through, you know, the New Testament describing the early church, particularly in the book of Acts, you find, you know, phrases such as with one accord, like-minded, the entire congregation, the entire people, you know, all the believers, something like that occurs from time to time. It is a word or a phrase very characteristic of the early church. In the book of Acts, those phrases occur at least seven times. So we know that it is a very obvious and prominent feature of the early church, that whenever you see them, one of the quickest impressions that you walk away with, they are together. They may be different, but they are together. They are unified. Like Sam was, you know, praying that, you know, we would be unified. We would be unified in the Holy Spirit. Psalms 113, 133, very short psalms, and some people have committed it to memory. Psalms 133 says that God would work his blessings when his people strive for unity in him. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there God bestows his blessings. When the church, when believers come together, maybe in a church-wide meeting, maybe in a Bible study group, maybe in a home worship setting. But when the people of God come together united in mind and heart, there you can expect God to shower his blessings. And nowhere is this unity more important and noticeable than in the area of prayer. So the early disciples, early Christians got together and they started to pray. They were in agreement, seeking God. That is very important and very telling. They were not able, perhaps, to see everything eye to eye. There may be still, you know, huge differences among them. But they were at least unified together in one thing. They were in agreement seeking God. You know, just 3 weeks ago, at the end of the board meeting on Saturday, board members, brothers and sisters serving on the official board, were given a glimpse of the sanctuary upstairs. You know, I haven't been able to go in. I wanted to before that, but I couldn't. But I was very glad for that opportunity, you know. I remember that when I walked into the sanctuary, one of my first impressions was that, you know, it was just an empty shell, you know, very empty. Everything was pretty much gutted out. Well, something still remained, you know. And we walk around. And at the end, you know, before we left, the entire board gathered together and prayed. And I have to show you some of the pictures. We only have three pictures taken with cell phones, but hopefully you can make, you know, something out of it. It was a huge, huge space without the pews, you know, without the columns and things like that. huge space, you know. I felt a little bit empty walking in, you know, this way so much space that God can really use, you know, for his work and for his glory. And even as the board members gathered together to pray, I can't tell you what an experience it was for me. That in that dirty, doesn't look like much of a place, sanctuary, that God's people gather in unity, in agreement to seek after God. We pray that God would do his work, great work of evangelism. We pray that God would make CCC and this church, along with other churches, centers of missions and outreach. We pray that God will rebuild this church, not just the physical building, but more importantly, the congregation, the body of Christ. We pray that, you know, this church will become more about God and less about other things. We pray basically whatever prayer we utter, we pray in unison. We pray united under the Spirit. We pray in agreement. It was a sacred and awesome moment for me that servant leaders of the church gather with one heart and mind seeking after God together. The early disciples came together often in outstanding unity because they were not focusing on all the things that were different. They were not focusing on all the things that divide them, even causing them to argue with one another. God had given them an unshakable foundation of unity in Christ, and they focused precisely on that and that alone. They focused on the fact that they were saved by the same Savior. They came together in agreement, seeking after God. A lot of things are still different, but they were focused and they were in agreement that they were saved by the same Savior, that they were redeemed by the same blood, the blood of Christ, that they were looking to the same cross, the cross of Jesus, that they were seeking hard after the same God, that they thirst after the same river of life, that they were going after the power and the infilling of the same Holy Spirit, that they share the same burden in reaching out to lost men and women, that they were partakers, they all share in a common grace, the grace that came from the Lord Jesus. It was amazing how God changed hearts and attitudes. You know, we were talking about 11 disciples gathered in prayer. Men who just shortly before the death of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 20 were arguing, quarreling with one another, vying for power, greatness, and position. If you go home and read this passage, you'll find that, you know, these men were very human indeed. They wanted power. They wanted to be the leader. They were also different now. They were also different now. Even though they look at life differently, but now they are united in Jesus, their Savior. They are all lost men, but for the grace of God, they came together. They were one body. Folks, our unity this morning and always for this church and for anything, for any other church is the same too. It's not based on things such as how we feel, whether we like it or not, or whether we agree on everything in life. Our unity is based on the fact that we are together, we are united, because we have been redeemed by the same Lord. And together we need to encourage one another to seek after God in obedience, in joy, in expectancy, in faith, in unity, because we want God to fill this place with his presence, his blessings, and also his greatness. In fact, we're going to be doing something different today at our monthly church prayer meeting. We usually, you know, meet upstairs in the sanctuary at 12:45 together in prayer. You know, if you had come to many of the meetings, you would find that, you know, thank God, that the number is growing quietly. We thank God for men and women who are willing to stand in the gap, interceding for the church and for lost work. We have been using, you know, the third floor classrooms to pray. But today, though, we're going to do something differently. We're going to be holding our congregational meeting at 1 o'clock. During the congregational meeting, you will have an opportunity to hear Daryl Ripito give us an update of what has been happening so far. But before that, at 12:45, after we have finished church lunch, here in this memorial hall, we are going to invite everyone to come here and join us in a church-wide prayer meeting. The third floor classroom can't hold all of us, but this place can. I know it would present some kind of inconvenience to some of us. After all, let's face it, this is the only place right now where we can meet, chat, catch up, encourage one another, maybe pray with select brothers and sisters, you know. But for the sake of church, but for the sake of the Lord Jesus' glory, you know, in this church and through this church, we are asking you to put aside that inconvenience just for today. Let's come together at 12:45. We make an announcement shortly before that, and let's see and let's challenge the entire people of God coming together in prayer. And let's seek God together. Because Jesus says that, you know, nowhere is God's blessing more prevalent, more powerful, more overflowing when he sees his people gather together to pray, to seek after him, all in agreement, putting aside differences, putting aside questions, but all coming and say, God, whatever you want to do in this church, with the church of Jesus in this world, do it. For we are making that the priority of our prayer. Use us, use this church, use the and all the churches in the world, just so long that all the name, all the power, all the honor goes to the name of the Lord Jesus. So let's learn today in a very practical way to be an obedient church. Obedient in prayer, joyful in prayer, expectant in prayer, and also the whole body coming together in prayer. Now, join with me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, how we want you to fill this church. Fill the Church of Christ the world over, and fill every believer with your goodness, with your power, and with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We have seen you do that in the early church, all through history, and we know that you are still doing that today. And we pray, O Lord, that in your works and in your blessing, include also this church. Father, we pray for you to put such a hunger and thirst in this church, in all of us, that we would not remain content or satisfied until we have met with you, until you have become our most prized possession. We pray, O Lord, that you will give us abundantly the river of life to drink from. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to see you and experience your joy in us. And we pray, Father God, that you would take the Church of Christ, wherever she may be, and use her as your servant and turn the whole world upside down, so that, O Lord, the name of Christ may be praised all throughout the world. We give you thanks, O Lord, for we know you are not done with us. You are not done with your people on earth. And you would continue to bless us and do great and mighty things. Because you are God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. Amen. We know that Jesus also joined us in prayer, because in the New Testament,